someone asked me tonight before service, was I going to preach? Well, if you know Brother Sammy Allen, that's a stupid question. You find out about 2 seconds before you do. And I thought Brother Billy, when he came back and tapped him on the shoulder, I said, he came to the platform and I breathed a sigh of relief. And then Brother Sammy called me and I came up and sat down by Brother Bill and I said, you did have a chance to look through your Bible. He said, you want to use my outline? I said, I could do as good with his as I could with mine. Amen. Amen. It's a joy to be here. I believe I see Brother Hugh Saul back there. Brother Hugh, it's so good to see you. Amen. Amen. I love that man. Oh, there's so many precious preachers. How many preachers Brother Sam said there was? That's great. What? Amen. You know why I'm so excited about this crowd tonight? You know me long enough to know I don't pull any punches, but what's so exciting about this crowd? And I rejoice there's still some godly singers like we've heard tonight. I rejoice in that. But you know, I can't go that crowd that can come for just the singing and then leave after that's over. That crowd of gag a maggot. Now, you can say what you want to, but that bunch, listen. You can dress it up and say your righteous indignation. I'd get mad as the devil when they start walking out. I like to box their jaws.
Yeah, go ahead.
Amen. I said, amen. Amen. This book is important right here. Boy, isn't that a beautiful picture in it, waving those Bibles? Boy, that's great. That excites me. That turns me on. But this bunch today that got this Brill cream religion, you know, little dabble do them. I ain't got no patience with that bunch. They see old Brother Bill Canoy and me, and they said, they preach too long. It's not our message is too long, it's just your religion's too short. That's all that's wrong with you, boy.
That's
it, too. Amen. That's the truth. I believe today it's exciting when God's man gets up with this book in his hand. Thrills you. And makes you want to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Brother Bill said, now, take a long time. He's as scared as I am. We've got plenty of time. 7:30. That's PST. Preacher Saving Time. Acts chapter 21, and we'll begin our reading in verse 10. I'd like for you to stand with me while we read, and then we'll have a moment of prayer, and then we'll bring the message. You follow me in your Bibles as I read aloud. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, again we come into thy presence. And Lord, we're so grateful, God, that we've got the book that the quartet sang about a while ago. What light is that shining so brightly for me, that gives me such courage the right way to see? What hope for my trusting so all ever shall be, God's wonderful book divine. We thank you, dear Lord, tonight for everyone that's come this way. I pray, dear Lord, that tonight when they've left this place, that they've had the privilege to set their feet under the table of God. Lord, there's a great host of preachers here now. And every one of them, if they're your men, if they've had that call that separated them and put them apart, Lord, every one of them will pray for me. God, every one of them knows where I'm standing right now. They know within myself I'm not able to preach. They know, dear Lord, that there's nothing about me that'll feed hungry hearts, that'll encourage the discouraged, that'll reach that man or that woman that's right on the bottom round right now and is about ready to throw in the towel. So, God, I pray that every one of them will pray for me as they would have me pray for them if they were standing right here tonight. May there be no jealousy, no envy, no strife among us this week. But Lord, may our hearts be melded together by that blessed love of God. Dear Lord, tonight help them to lose sight of me and get a glimpse of Christ. Help them, our Father, tonight. Lord, if they leave here tonight forgetting my name, that's all right. But if they go away from here saying, I got a glimpse of Jesus, Lord, it'll be all worthwhile. So have thy way, we pray. Bless Brother Conoy as he follows, and every man that preaches. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Good tonight to see a dear precious friend. I'm just a great bunch of preachers. Brother W.A. Costner, I'm so glad to see him from over at Bessemer City. I'm sure that most of us at some time or another have heard statements as follows. How are you? And then the reply is, oh, I'm fair. Some of the old mountain talk is, I'm tolerable. Oh, fair to Midland, I guess. Oh, I'm getting along. I guess I'll do. And so on goes the story of the man that's expressing somewhat of a mediocre existence. Our churches today, I fear, are filled with men and women that's satisfied just to be fast. Just, you know, I'll do, I guess. And our churches, I fear, have settled down in that attitude that they're satisfied with just being average. Do I hear amen on that? Just average. Just getting along. I'll do. Oh, we're not setting the world on fire. And then we're satisfied seemingly to be in that position. But you know, my dear friend, tonight, we ought never be satisfied with being average. We ought to want to go beyond that. Beyond the average. Hallelujah. We weren't saved in an average way. Glory to God. Unusual. Hallelujah. We never got it out of an average book.
We're not going to an average place. I'm already getting intoxicated. But there are so many that are satisfied with just being average, and I guess I'll do. But I want to preach tonight about a little man that was determined not to be average, was determined by the grace of God to go beyond that mark of being average and just mediocre. I tried to do some research on Paul, the apostle, and I was so thrilled to find out some of the things that I found out about the apostle Paul. How true some of them are, I do not know. History bears some record of this man. Then there's biblical account that I am sure about. But let me share some things that I dug up on the apostle Paul. Here was a man, my dear friend, when you read about him and you begin to find yourself tiptoeing just to get a better view of a great giant standing head and shoulders above most anybody you read about. Here's a man I found out. One man said that Paul possibly weighed about 110 pounds. Just a little bitty man. Another man said, how true this is, I do not know. They said that possibly Paul had an impediment of speech. The Bible said that he came not to you with excellency of speech, but with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. One man said that possibly Paul was stooped in his shoulder and could not stand very straight. Another man said that possibly Paul stammered and stuttered and talked along that line. Paul himself said, there was a time you would have plucked out your eyes and have given them to me. And he said again, seeing how large a letter that I write unto you, implying possibly that he had some problems with his vision. But my friend, there was a man that wasn't satisfied with being average. He wasn't content with just being tolerable. He wasn't satisfied with being mediocre. He had one thing in mind. He was pressing on to the mark of the high calling that was in God. Brother, hear me. That'll make you above average. When you get Him in view, it'll take you above the mediocre thing. You got to get a goal in mind. Got to get something to aim at. Got to get something to aim at. So many of you right now are content just to be floating along. Any old dead fish can float downstream, but it takes one with life in him to go against the current and to head upstream. Where the water runs cool from the head of the river. Oh, glory. That's where my goal's at tonight. Average was not Paul's ambition, not his goal whatsoever. Now, what was it that made this man so unique, so different? What was it that made him so outstanding? It wasn't his stature. He was not 6 foot and 3 inches tall. It wasn't his personality. It wasn't any of that. So there had to be something else that set him apart, that made him different, that made him unique. And so that's the thing that I want to deal with tonight. What was it that made this man so outstandingly different? Number one, the thing that made him great was his love for the Savior. His love for the Savior. Listen, friend of mine, you'll never be worth a dime until you've had a head-on collision with the Son of God and fall in love with Him so much that everybody else is secondary in your life. You'll never be much of a preacher until Christ is the greatest love in your life. You'll never be nothing but average until He, the Christ of Calvary, is the one person that you love more than anybody else or anything else. When Christ becomes that important, then, my friend, you can get above the average waterline. His love for the Savior. Notice Paul's statement. He said, I'm not only ready to go down there bound, but I'm ready to die down there. What's that, Paul? He said, for the name of the Lord Jesus. If anything else tonight is in your view, your average, get Christ in your view and get above the average. Sunday school teacher, you know why you're average? You want to know why your class is dry and dead and dull? You want to know why you can't keep the little boys and girls in there? You're average. Why don't you try sometime laying an old, dead, frost-bit, furry-ridden, men-made, soaked in religious theology, lay it aside, and get up there and go to that class and say, I want to show you Jesus this morning. I want to show you Jesus. Hallelujah. And you said, ain't nobody in there but just two or three little snotty-nosed boys and girls. Show them Jesus. Hallelujah. The reason we've turned out too many average church members now is because we've got average teachers teaching them. Amen? I say amen. Hallelujah. I remember as a boy in an old church where they didn't even have a Sunday school room, but they stretched an old curtain on an old rusty wire. Huh? And there's a little old lady that they thought, well, we'll get her out of the way. We'll screw her back in there, them little old kids. She'll take them up and babysit with them. So they put us back in there with Aunt Maggie. And she'd pass out our little cards with them little pictures on them. But you know what her lesson was about every Sunday morning? It was Jesus. Aunt Maggie never taught about nothing but Jesus. For Sunday in and Sunday out. Every time we went in, it was Oh, the picture may have been Samson, or the picture may have been David, but it always wound up on Jesus. Where'd everybody go? You want to know why it's so hard to keep your Sunday school up? Your teachers are down. Now get your head up. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. Look up at me, Jay Bird. I was shaking a while ago. I ain't doing that no more. I'm in the bowl right now. I believe I could whip any 15 of you. Oh, help me. If you want your Sunday school to grow, let them see Jesus in that picture. Amen? Jesus. Paul said, I'm not only ready to let them tie me up with my girdle, but he said, I'm ready to go down there and tie down there for the name of Jesus. What are you promoting at your church? What are you trying to sell at your church? What are you trying to motivate at your church? Here was a little man. He's already standing 7 foot tall, isn't he? Oh, listen, Paul, what is it so different about you? He said, I reckon it's because I love him so much. Remember an old man we used to have in our country? Bless his heart. I never will forget him. He caused more wrecks on one corner in our town than any man around there. He couldn't see too good. Awful feeble. They called him the old crazy man and everything else. Do you know why they called him crazy? Right out in the middle of the street in front of God and everybody. He'd go down the street singing, Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. That a thing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Home at last, cares all past, ever to rejoice. They called him crazy for that. Amen. He lived on a curve. He got up early the morning, stuck that old black felt hat down on his head, top of his outlet, twig of white hair had come up through the top of it. He'd get them walking sticks and come out on the porch. He'd get his balance. That early morning traffic was going around that curve going to work. He'd get his balance, lean his walking sticks up on his legs like that, and lift his hands above his head and say, "Glory to God!" Bang, crash, bang, crash! Let it wreck out down the street. Every wrecker in town loved that old man. See, he was above average. He wasn't average. He wasn't like the run of the mill. Well, you said, "I just want to get along." You make me want to puke up a gut. What do you mean you want to get along? I want to go against the grain, hallelujah. If the devil endorses it, I want to be against it. Amen. I hear preachers say, "Well, now, I don't want to stay up there. How about having me for a revival?" We have a time, boy. It may be a fist fight, but we'll have one. These little mealy mouthed preachers. Well, now, how do you mean? I wasn't talking about you. Little sissified, mealy mouthed, hound doggish, putrefied, buzzard bait rascals. Hey, man! You said, "I wouldn't call them that." You don't have to. I did. Little old sissy thing. Lord God, ruffles on his shirt. Smells like Avon's call. Little fingernails are polished. And yet don't want to start nothing. I've been starting things since God called me to preach. Amen. Amen. Glory! Get on the Savior! What about it over through church? What about it? That Sunday school teacher? What about that? Listen, I mean, you know, I know this. Thank God for every godly deacon. Praise God for him. But nearly every preacher lies that he's got a deacon scar on him. But you know why you got those scars? If that deacon had Jesus in him, on him, over and around him, my dear friend, he wouldn't have put a scar on you. He wouldn't have done it. Got quite enough now. If I had a body, we could have a nice funeral, couldn't we? Jesus will make you above the average. He'll get you up above the smog. The reason so many, you know the reason so many of you got towage? You know what towage is, don't you? Bill knows he's a giggly. You have a little boy, your toes break out between them. That's some playing in the mud. That's some staying where the tadpoles are at. But you know where the best water's at? I thought we can swim. Amen. Many of you are waiting, Christian. You go to me, listen. I was down in Florida a minute, and they had me in a motel, and they had the swimming pool, and then they had the wading pool. I said, "That's my former church members. The waders. I don't want to get out that horse deep. They just want to wade around, you know. Don't want to stir up nothing. You know."
I'd rather start eating spaghetti and turn it over and finally have maggots in my plate. To mess around a bunch like that. Amen? Amen. I started preaching revival in the church, and the pastor, you know, what? The first night, that rascal got mad at me and went and sat down on the back pew. Somebody said I'd have left. You'd have been average, you would. I said, there ain't a going. You know how he introduced me? He'd get up on the back pew and said, it's time for preaching. There he is. Amen. There he is. I ain't never been introduced like that. And down at the close of the meeting, he wouldn't even say, there he is. Did you know you can move your hand with sarcasm? I didn't know that till he done it. He wouldn't even say, there he is. He'd say, there he is. Man, you couldn't write sarcasm no plainer on a board. Amen? I stayed and preached. If anybody can run. Ain't no problem. I mean, you can take off. But to be above average. Hallelujah. Ready. Amen. And some of the boys came back from the war with one leg gone. But up here on the chest, there was ribbons with clusters, purple hearts. Medals. It said, I stood. I didn't run. I never burnt my card. I was in there. Makes you have that sense of pride, don't it? Makes you want to straighten up in the devil's dirty face and say, I'm standing up. Amen. Did you know we used to sing that old song a lot? Stand up, stand up. For Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. Amen? I was in one town in Texas, and the pastor showed me 13 church buildings closed up with a sign for sale out in front of it. Average? Average? No! Average folks don't want to go on visitation. Average folks don't like to preach on tithing. Average folks fuss about the little boys and girls that come in on the bus. That's the reason I like these bifocals. When you get frowning, I can just look over and don't even see you. Get off the Savior! When that church that you were in, that member, that pastor, that deacon, that Sunday school teacher, their one aim and their one goal and their one intention is to love and please him, that church will be above average. When that Sunday school teacher goes in there with one aim is to tell them about Christ. When that bus driver gets under that steering wheel and says, I'm driving it for Christ. When that choir member goes to the choir and says, I'm doing it for Christ. You know, sometimes I hate for choirs to go in the choir. You can see that, well, this choir wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for me attitude. I'm the one that shines up here. You need a knot on your hip, try you'd have to climb a ladder, scratch it.
If it wasn't me singing, this choir would just be nothing.
I am the light. Come down here. That above average is that man or woman that said, may Christ be seen in me. May whatever I do be done for the glory of God. May my singing, my preaching, and my praying, and my laboring, whatever it is, may it be done to magnify and glorify Him.
You know the reason you don't enjoy this station? You're going out there as a job rather than a service for God Almighty. Some of you tiptoe up to the door. Hope they're not there.
You hound. His love for the Savior. Then next of all, His love for the sinner. Did you know we're so content with our little crowd? We've got them all in now. We don't want nobody else. I'm going to tell you, my dear friend, if you've lost sight of that poor old blind, sickening, downcast, downtrodden sinner, you might as well close your doors. You're out of business. Amen. Oh, you said this is our social function. This is where we get together to have fellowship. The greatest churches I go into are those that are not content with just some warm-overs and some do-overs, but are those that want to reach out and to get the message out to that sinner and to get him to God. There's the churches that are above average. I'm going to say something now that might shake you a little bit. I'm going to tell you something that might make you a little fuzzed up. But I'll be hearing your temperature rise down, darling. If you're satisfied, are you listening to me now? If you're satisfied with just an emotional stir, and the only thing that excites you is just some shouting over some old song that jerked the tears in your eyes, if you're satisfied with just that professionalism of some quartet that all dressed alike, if, my friend, this is your goal and your mark, then you might as well shut down. You're out of business. You're already out of business. You haven't found it out yet. You say, don't you like shouting? Man, I love it. But I'll tell you what I love to do it at. It's when I see that old boy fall down the ball, my dear God, and cry out, Lord Jesus, save me. Down over to Ron Garris's down in Florida overnight. Brother Hugh had an old Catholic boy saved, a Jewish girl saved, and a Mormon saved. What happened? I got drunk as a hound. Amen. Did you know what? Did you know what used to happen in our churches when folks come to the altar and got saved? Folks would gather around, start shaking hands and hugging their neck. They used to thrill over. Now then, the average Baptist said, wonder when they're going to let us go home. Well, it excites me to see folks get saved. I mean, I get something out of that. I get thrilled about that. Well, you said, I don't care too much about that. You're average, boy. Fact is, I doubt if you're even average. You've done and gone beyond that. You're dead as a doornail. Cold as a fog's belly. Sitting on ice. Sinners getting saved ought to excite any church. When you get out of the soul winning business and trying to get men to Christ, brother, you've already lost the gold. Are you listening? Oh, he sorrowed back there. God love him. You know, his pulpit is looking through jailhouse bars. He preaches in jailhouses all across the country. Sleeps in an old car. Tells men about God. And he still gets excited over people getting born again. I go to some of these churches, you know. I get out tired, give out. The pastor said, hey, like our new windows. Well, they're nice. The DuPont 501's what we got. It's the highest steeple in town. Our Baptist is plastic. Look over in it and got the old Christmas decorations and stuff in it. I'm going to go ahead. I ain't so yet. They show me their windows, the DuPont 501, their steeples, and their back, and the baptistries. I come to them with a question. How many did you have saved last Sunday? Well, you know. How many walked that aisle? How many got the Calvary? How many got under the blood? How many got born again? That ought to be what's exciting to you. So I come to camp meeting to get excited. Well, I've got time here too to get excited. But I want to tell you something, honey. I saw 70 souls walk the aisle on Monday night of a revival 3 weeks ago. I saw 60 the next night. That excites me, boy. That turns me off. There ain't nothing like that, is there? There ain't nothing like that. You're settling down on me. But I'm just going to keep shooting in that hole. I know you're in there. His love for the Savior, his love for the sinner, and then his love for the saint. Hey, you folks remember that old song we used to sing? Makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, and it's good enough for me. You remember that? It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying, and it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. I don't love him anymore. I say I'm different side of the house with him. Go up and shake hands with somebody. Feel like you shook hands with somebody, blow their nose right in the middle of the hand. You know what my little old girl said to that poor guy? She said,
So let's hurry so we can see the folks. So let's get down there early.
My wife, the doctor told her,
said you stay home. You back there, honey? She said, I got to go.
Oh, folks, hear me. When love is torn apart and divisions brought among brother and sister that they don't love anybody and everybody around them, something's wrong and you're average. Just love it, folks. Just love one another. Amen. Just love one another.
Old W.A. Costner, he's big as a skinned elephant. And I said, W.A., get up. I just want to hug you.
Yes,
I just want to hug you.
Just want to love you next.
I see folks kind of looking just strange. Just walking out here with,
Lord my God, I'm glad to see you.
You can tell this is their first time here. I was hugging a great big old ugly fella out there a while ago. Amen.
What is it that makes us love one another? It's not religion. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What made him great is love for the sinner.
His love for the Savior. His love for the sinner. His love for the saint.
I've told this story many times. I was in a revival in a state. The preacher said to one of our ladies wants us to go have lunch with her. And I said, all right, we'll do it. We'd gotten in this four-wheel vehicle and started out across the swamps. We finally rolled up to a little old shack. That's all it was. It wasn't painted. It did have no windows, just shutters. Old rusty tin roof on it. A little old stove pipe stuck out the side of the wall with a piece of tin around it to keep it from catching the shack on fire. As we drove up, this old lady comes stepping up out of the little old shack. It had no floor in it, no ceiling on the walls, or on the up in the ceiling, no paper on it. It was a shack. But you know what made it so exciting, such an exciting visit? She come out of that little old shack, drying her hands on a apron. And you know what she was saying? Said the preachers have come to see me. Said glory to God, the preachers have come. Said, oh, hallelujah, the preachers have come, the preachers have come. And I caught myself doing the same thing. I was hollering, the preachers are coming. I was one of them. I said, I got to looking around for some more. Oh, she said, it's so good to have you. And I went in that little old shack, Brother Billy, in the warmth and the presence of God. Filled it. Flooded in that place. She said, I've about got dinner ready. And I said, I'm sure hungry today. Well, she said, you just might as well sit down at the table. I said, I'll do it. You know what the table was? Piece of an old enamel stove. You know what the legs were of the table? Two before set up on the corner of it and a nail nailed in it. The enamel chipped off. You know, he set on two nail kegs with some little faded out flour sacks around them. She said, here's where you sit, Preacher Blue. And I said, all right.
And she said, Pastor, that's where you said. He said, fine. And we sat down. And she took a little bowl about so big. She said, down, had butter beans in it. I love butter beans. I mean, I'm fond of them things. And I believe it was a little bitty bowl of rice, I believe it was, about the same size. And two glasses, jelly glasses, full of water. She had one piece of bread. She tore it in half, give him a piece of it, me a piece of it. And she said, now, preachers, just take your sample. And she said, I'm just going to shout some more because you're here. Don't let me disturb you. I just want to shout and thank the Lord because you're here. Man, you ought to try eating that way sometimes. There's somebody shouting all around you. She'd go by and say, woo! I reached over them butter beans. Got me some rice. That preacher said, never been as hungry in my life. He went after it. Now, you may have trouble believing this. And I'm in God's pulpit, and this is God's place. How many of you ever read about that widow's meal barrel? Huh? Do you believe that? I say, you believe that? You won't have no trouble with this then. Man, she passed by, and I said, pass them beans, preacher. I looked at him and I couldn't tell he had done no damage to him. I said, I'll help myself this time. I'll make a long story short. I eat till I thought I was going to die. When we left there, there's still beans in that bowl. Are you having any trouble with that? Huh? Not a bit. Oh, folks, help me. That old saint. Love God's preachers. You know what needs to happen in the average Baptist church is for God's people to fall in love with one another again. Start loving your pastor. Start loving one another. Start caring. Start seeing the needs of one another. And thank them. Start happening around there. Loving one another. Then we can sing, makes me love everybody. Makes me love them. Just makes you love one another. Loving saints. Loving sinners. Well, you said, I love around our church. Or a box of dollars. Some of you are so isolated, you think the world begins and ends about 100 yards away from your church. You think they're not having a revival unless they're having it at your church. Some of you preachers think there ain't no preaching being done unless you're doing it. Well, I think this is pretty good myself. I think you're so saved beside all waters. Win them wherever you can, whenever you can. I don't know how I got back on that point, but there I am again. Still just 7:30. Might as well tell you it'll be that when I get through too. Loving sinners ought to be the one thing in your mind. There's a coming out of Monticello, Florida one time, coming through a little old town, you may have heard me tell it, and I was coming through there listening to a recording of a preacher, one of my favorite preachers. Wasn't oral. And it wasn't 111 Pasadena either. Now, as I was going through there shouting the night there, while I heard a fellow go, whoa! I said, oh no. And he pulled me over and he preached me a message, and I thought he was going to take up an offering any minute. He told me, said, you've been driving too fast. And I caught myself saying, amen, amen. After he looked at my license, he said, it said minister upon it. He said, what kind of preacher are you? I said, I'm a saved preacher. Well, he said, I figured that, but what kind? I said, I'm a saved Baptist preacher. Big old fella. Never had let me out of the car yet. Looked at him, I didn't know whether I wanted out or not. But he said, you know what, preacher, said, would you got a little few minutes you could spend with me? I said, I'll be glad to do it. A man with a gun on his side standing 7 foot tall and asks foolish questions like that. I'd have went home with him if he'd have wanted me to. But he said, I've been asking my preacher about some scripture in the Bible that I can't understand, and he tells me not to worry about it. I said, have you got any time to help me with it? I said, I'd be glad to do it. I said, what is it? He said, it's the 3rd chapter of John. Glory to God. I said, we're in business right now. He said, let me go back here and call them station on the radio and tell them I'm all right. And said, just get your Bible there and come back here behind your car between our cars and we'll talk back there. And got my Bible out and I went and laid it down on my old car back there. He walked back up and laid that big old hat off on the truck. Shined a great big old flashlight on my Bible. And the Bible said, you must be born again. Said, would you mind explaining that to me? I said, I'll be glad to do it. And right there I started a message in John chapter 3. And I preached to that fella. After a while he grabbed me by the arm. He said, preacher, can I get saved right now? I said, right now, right now. Right now you can. Hallelujah. Right down on our knees, we went between those two cars. That old boy said, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I want you to save me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got him born in the family of God right there. Well, I mean, sinners. I guess we was a peculiar sight. About 1 o'clock in the morning, me and a policeman out there wrestling between the cars. Yeah, I second the motion. His love for the Savior, his love for the sinner, his love for the saint. And then, my dear friend, not only that, but his load that he carried. You know, the average person in the church today has no burden. That's the reason you're against supporting missionaries. I need an amen on that. That's the reason you get up in those business meetings milking that sanctimonious chin of yours and said, I don't think we need to do that this month. Some of you poor little spider leg preachers, you know, get up there and whine for them and say, please let me do it this time. Please let me take on another missionary, please. Oh, come on. Shamey, shamey, shamey. Silly, silly, silly. You're a pukey buzzard. Amen. If you're that pecked by your board or by the committee, you're crippled too high for crutches. You're sick, boy. Go in there and bag them to let you take on another missionary. Oh, come on now, fellas. Oh, please let me take another on. I'd be ashamed. Hey. Yeah. If that woman gouges her husband one more time, he's got a broke rib. He'll never make it through the rest of the thing. He's already turning purple under the gizzard. Leave him alone, helper. He's dying to say amen, and she won't let him. he carried. The concern that he had made him great. Above the average, beyond the tolerable, beyond the mediocre. He stood up there. He had a load. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. He never had his little neighborhood. He had a whole nation in vision. A whole nation. Some of you preachers right now, shame on you. If you don't have a missionary vision, you're not biblical. You're not only not Baptistic, you're not even biblical. Some of these churches, my friend, say, well, don't see how we can afford it. You can't afford not to be missionary, my friend. How many missionaries we got here right now? Stand up right quick. Ain't that beautiful? There's people saying we want to go. There's people saying we're willing to go. There's people said we're ready anytime you'll help us. But some of you said, well, we just don't see how we can do it this time. It ain't in our budget. A leader. He had his hours. Is Paul getting a little taller? Above the average, isn't he? Then the last statement, and I'm going to close. What made him great and above the average? His longing to go home. To having a desire to depart and to be with the Lord. He said, not for me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. That's not average, is it? That ain't like a man having to be held on the bed and scared to die. As Paul said, man, he said, I've got a desire. To just to take off. I mean, said, I won't go. Man, no wonder that letter to Timothy is so exciting. Said, the time of my departure is a thing. And he said, I'm now ready. He said, I'm packed up. I got my Bank of America. I mean, he said, I'm ready. They're coming to give me. But he said, hallelujah, anything. I hear a lot of folks stand up on Wednesday night and testimony meeting and say, I just see hard to worry. They'll step there till the next morning and run to the surgery. I'm a dying doc, I'm a dying. They wouldn't want to go. I mean, they wouldn't be talking about it at all. Said, Lord God, get the spices. They're so excited to go. There's a railroad track right over here. Stand there. That engineer will help you out. You were even excited about boy. I went to the engine and the old that was dying. I got there. I said, Brother Ed, you just didn't make it. Well, I said, glory to God, I'm glad I'm here. She was laying on that little bed, hair as white as snow. She said, do you see him, preacher? And I said, uh-huh. She said, there's one standing right there beside you. I said, sure enough. She said, yeah, he's right there. coming right behind you, too. I said, pardon me if I step on you. She said, did you hear him say it? And I said, no. She said, they're singing. She said, it's getting louder for the people. You know what she started doing? She started singing. Oh, come and tell them. Come and stand.
For the glory of God. It is in my praise.